And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Historic churches will be forced to close if Rachel Reeves scraps tax relief for repairs to listed places of worship in the budget. 36 Tory MPs, church leaders and charities have written to the Chancellor urging her to maintain a 24-year-old scheme which exempts such buildings from paying VAT at 20% on restoration work. Gordon Brown extended the scheme in 2004 as the then Labour Chancellor to cover the full cost of VAT on repair bills instead of a proportion. But there are fears that Ms. Reeves could scale back the relief as she tries to plug a £40 billion black hole in the public finances. The current commitment to funding the scheme ends in March next year, which means the Treasury has to decide whether to end it, continue with it at its current 20% rate, or reduce it. The scheme pays out between £25 million and £40 million a year on VAT claims once the work is done and has helped cover restoration at almost 5,000 listed places of worship. In a letter to the Chancellor, Sir Philip Rutnam, the former Permanent Secretary at the Home Office and now Chairman of the National Churches Trust, said the 38,500 Christian places of worship provided the biggest base for voluntary activity in the whole of the UK. He said they also accounted for almost half of Britain's most important historic buildings, Grade 1 listed or equivalent, and the nation's largest art collections, including sculpture, stained glass, wall paintings and vernacular art. Without VAT rebates for repairs, Sir Philip said the places of worship would have to rely on local funds to make up the difference. For major restoration works, such as Leicester and Salford Cathedral, it amounted to more than £1 billion. There is no doubt that this would tip many buildings and community activities that would otherwise continue into closure, he said. Evidence of this can already be seen in the financial crisis that is affecting church buildings. The Church of England already has a backlog of repairs to parish churches estimated at over £1 billion, and large-scale closures are sweeping churches in Scotland and Wales. Neil O'Brien, a former minister who was alerted to the threat to the scheme after becoming involved in efforts to raise money for a church in his constituency, has appealed to Ms. Reeves with 35 other MPs to renew funding in March. In the letter, backed by MPs including former Culture Secretary John Whittingdale and former Cabinet Ministers Esther McVeigh, Andrew Mitchell and Victoria Atkins, he said the scheme was a vital measure which has enabled thousands of churches and other places of worship to be preserved for future generations. He added, "We hope that you will provide certainty for all those voluntary groups trying to preserve some of our most beautiful heritage and extend this scheme for a multi-year period." Other churches that have benefited include the 11th century Chichester Cathedral in Chichester, which received £195,000 for its roof and lighting work, and the 12th century Collegiate Church of St Mary in Warwick, which has been granted £141,500 to repair the ancient tower. The Roman Catholic Church is also urging Catholics to write to their MPs to protect the scheme and ensure that most important architectural treasures remain open for future generations. When Mr. Brown announced the commitment to offer full VAT rebates for repairs, he declared, "Churches and sacred places of worship are not just an essential part of our religious life, but an important part of the history and the fabric of our country." The National Churches Trust said even small repairs could be financially tough for cash-strapped churches. Repairs to roofs, for example, could cost £1 million. The Trust estimates that UK gains £55 billion a year from the social and economic and well-being benefit from the 38,500 churches in the UK. Its research, published this month, showed that it provided care and support that would cost the NHS and other agencies some £8.4 billion a year to deliver. This is equivalent to almost 4% of UK health spending and equivalent to employing an extra 230,000 nurses. In an attempt to protect the scheme, Tory MP Christopher Chope has laid a private members' bill in Parliament proposing that the VAT exemption should be enshrined in law. The Trust said that the scheme was the only regular support provided to churches in the UK by government, apart from occasional one-off cash injections. In the 800-year-old Norse Sverris saga, the author recounts the gruesome tale of a corpse being thrown into a well to pollute the water supply of an under-siege castle in Norway. Now that a corpse has been found, the first time a saga character that was supposed fictional has been recovered, proving that the incident really happened. The skeleton of a man in his 30s or 40s was discovered in a well outside Sverresborg Castle near Trondheim in central Norway in 1938, but has only now been officially linked to the saga by scientists. Radiocarbon dating has confirmed that the skeleton dates from roughly 900 years ago, falling within the same time period as the raid on Sverresborg Castle in 1197 AD. This is the first time that a person described in these historical texts has actually been found, said Professor Michael Martin of the Norwegian University of Science and Technology University Museum in Trondheim. There are a lot of these medieval and ancient remains all around Europe, and they're increasingly being studied using genomic methods. The Sverris saga is one of the king sagas which tell the mythological history of the ancient Nordic kings and are a confusing mix of fiction and reality. It tells the story of King Sverre Sigurdsson, who ruled Norway between 1177 and 1202, and is mostly a depiction of his many battles and military strategy during the country's bloody civil war. Sverre seized the crown from Magnus V. Erlingsson and built Sverresborg Castle on a plateau in Nidaros, now Trondheim, as a challenge to the power of the Christian church, which was centred in the city. In 1197, a pro-church faction, known later as the Baglers, attacked the castle while Sverre was away in Bergen. The Sverris saga described it as the Baglers seized all the property in the castle and then they burnt every building of it. They took a dead man and cast it into the well, and then filled it up with stones. Just like the saga said, the skeleton found at the bottom of the well was covered with stones. The bones were originally found in the well in the 1930s, but were not removed until 2014. As well as radiocarbon dating, new studies use samples of a tooth obtained from the skeleton to sequence the man's genome. The man in the well most likely had blue eyes and blonde or light brown hair, and his ancestors likely hail from the southernmost Norwegian county of present-day Vest-Agder. The team were hoping to also screen for diseases, but the testing destroyed the tooth. Sampling the man's genome required removing the outer surface from his tooth to avoid contamination from those who had handled it in non-sterile environments, such as during excavation, and grinding the tooth into a powder. It was a compromise between removing surface contamination of the people who have touched the tooth and then removing some of the possible pathogens. There are lots of ethical considerations, said Dr. Martin Rein Ellegaard of the Norwegian University of Science and Technology. We need to consider what kind of tests we're doing now because it will limit what we can do in the future. The researchers say that they would like to test samples from other historical figures. The important Norwegian St. Olaf is thought to be buried somewhere in Trondheim Cathedral, added Professor Martin. I think that if eventually his remains are uncovered, there could be some effort to describe him physically and trace his ancestry using genetic sequencing. The research was published in the journal iScience. Cathedrals have been accused of turning themselves into novelty modern art exhibitions and hosting events that undermine their sanctity. The events scheduled at Britain's largest churches this autumn include sunset yoga beneath a sculpture of Mars and the installation of a giant swing to celebrate the importance of play for well-being. Cathedral deans say they need to put on non-religious events to pay for the ancient building's upkeep and to attract non-Christians, but critics argue the events are not appropriate in sacred spaces. Gloucester Cathedral has installed a rotating sculpture of Mars in its nave and hosted sunset yoga beneath it on October the 16th and 23rd, charging £15 per person. In Leicester Cathedral, a swing has been suspended in the middle of the church to celebrate the importance of play for well-being. The very Reverend Karen Rooms, the cathedral's dean, said of the free art exhibit, "We want people to pray and connect with God, but we also want people to enjoy their visit." Hereford Cathedral last week put on a light show which illuminated the building with images of the universe, while Southwark Cathedral is the latest to exhibit Gaia, a sculpture of the Earth which has toured different cathedrals in recent years. A Coventry Cathedral on Saturday, the Ibiza Proms saw a 40-piece orchestra perform a carefully selected mix of the most iconic Ibiza dance anthems. Salisbury Cathedral has become the latest in several cathedrals to host silent discos, which critics have branded raves in the nave. At Salisbury Cathedral, we have an aim to encourage an ever wider range of people to discover and enjoy the building in new ways or for the first time, a spokesman said. The Reverend Marcus Walker, the rector of St Bartholomew the Great in the City of London and chairman of Save the Parish, told The Telegraph cathedrals needed to remember that they are viewed by many as sacred. Churches and cathedrals need to stay afloat with the limited support they get from the government and the central church, and this will inevitably involve hiring out their spaces, he said. But the question is whether these events are pointing to God or are they just a gimmick. There are things that cathedrals can put on that are not offensive. But then there are things that feel sacrilegious to many, like giant nightclubs that tell the world that the church no longer believes in its places of worship and centres of prayer, where the gap between heaven and earth is that little bit slimmer. It's very interesting to me that all this has happened relatively recently. I am not convinced at all that cathedrals need to put on raves in the nave to survive. Dr. Skorinsky, who campaigns against raves in the nave, said, "Britain's great cathedrals are in danger of becoming little more than novelty modern art exhibitions and knock-off nightclubs. No serious religion should treat its places of worship this way. The Church of England should treat them with the same kind of respect you might expect for other historic monuments." The very Reverend Dr. David Monteith, Dean of Canterbury and Chairman of the College of Deans, said cathedrals cost as much as £30,000 to maintain every day. "We receive no regular funding from government or the Church of England, so like the church leaders of the past, we are being imaginative and proactive in securing these places for the future, while continuing the daily round of prayer and praise," he said. From the medieval markets of old to the sales of beer or bread or honey, cathedrals being innovative and entrepreneurial in using our spaces and talents for God's glory is nothing new, but instead is now being reinvented afresh for the 21st century. The very Reverend John Whitcomb, Dean of Coventry, said, "Cathedrals have become inclusive spaces in an ever more polarized society, places where all are welcome. They are also hard to sustain, and the financial benefits of hosting a wide range of events are part of what enables us to stay open for all and to keep worship at the heart of all that we do." The very Reverend Andrew Zinni, Dean of Gloucester, said, "We are currently hosting Luke Jerram's Masked Insolation, which is encouraging visitors to reflect on God's creation and the themes of war and peace so pertinent in the current climate. The recent yoga sessions at Gloucester Cathedral form part of a broader initiative to invite the community to connect and engage with our unique and sacred setting. Through activities like yoga, gardening, walking, rugby and reflective services, the cathedral supports community well-being and offers inclusive ways for all to engage with our sacred space. Gloucester Cathedral extends a warm invitation to all." A spokesman for the Association of English Cathedrals said the openness and invitation shown by the events was one of the reasons cathedrals are bucking the trend in the Church of England by showing significant growth. And finally, every morning Pastor Jamie gets up and makes instant coffee so he would have enough energy to make the regular coffee. He also replaced the headlights on his car with strobe lights, so it looks like he's the only one moving. He's recently been enjoying his new hobby of selectively breeding only the most agile deer with the intention of racing them. But people accused him of just trying to make a fast buck.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.